Ephesians chapter 6. In a moment, we'll read verse 1 and the first part of verse 2. What a delight it was last week to arrive at these verses and hear, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord." I was blessed to learn after the worship service that in some of the families, the children have been taught these verses already, even to the point of memorizing them. Thankful for that. We learned what it is for children to obey. It is to listen under, to listen as those who are under your parents who are over you, to listen attentively when they speak to you, to do what they tell you right away and cheerfully and thoroughly, not to do what they forbid, and to accept their correction. We learn that there's nothing bad about obeying despite what the world would tell you, but instead, obeying your parents is something very good that will serve you well for all the days of your life. We learn that children are to obey their parents in the Lord, as unto God, obeying our parents as part of obeying God Himself. Even the Lord Jesus Christ Himself did this, obeying all the will and commandments of God the Father, with the result that everyone who believes in Jesus may have everlasting life, and Jesus will raise him up at the last day, which is the will of God the Father for him to do. Today we're going to take the last few words of verse 1 and learn what it means, children, that you are to obey your parents, for this is right. Ephesians chapter 6, starting in verse 1. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother. Children, to obey your parents in the Lord is right. Now, right, in the Bible as it was written at first in a different language, Greek, is the word diakeos. And it's not normally in our Bible translated as right. Usually we see it as the word righteous. The word righteous, which appears many times in the Bible, is this word. Sometimes we see it as the word just. So whether you see it in your English Bible as righteous or just, or as in this place, just right, it's all this same Greek word, diakeos. As to our English word right, I found that it's a very ancient word common to almost all the European languages. So the children in Holland and the children in Germany and the children in Greece and the children all over Europe and everywhere that those languages are spoken, including our English language, we all have this word. In the old Latin, they had it, rictus. I remember in German class, I think, the word Richt or something like that. I got to hear Audrey reciting this in Dutch, and I caught her saying Recht, I think. And this word goes way back. This has been in our English language always. It goes back to Old English. So when we're talking about this word right, this is something that is the word for this thing in always in English and all the European languages. It's the same word. Back when Webster first put out his dictionary, 1828, he said it means, as to morals and religion, it means just or equitable. It means that it is accordant to the standard of the will of God. You understand what it means that it's accordant with or consonant with the will of God. That means when God has told you what He has to say, and then the person or the person's actions line up with that, then that's what's meant by right or righteous or just. If it lines up with God's law, then this is the word for that. right or just or righteous, or in the original Greek, diakaios. Now, it's used sometimes in the Bible of things people do. And that's what we're talking about here. Something that you could do. Obeying your parents in the Lord. That can be something that is diakaios, or right. More often, the Bible uses this word to talk about people whose character is that they are righteous or just. Now, you know that to obey your parents is right because God Himself said and wrote in the Ten Commandments, honor your father and your mother. You notice in what we just read that it says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. And then you could wonder, well, how do you know that's right? Sometimes when my parents are bossing me and I don't really want to do it, there's some question in my mind as to whether it's right for me to obey them or not. Well, the reason that you can be so sure that that's right, the reason the Apostle Paul in writing this was able to be so sure that that's right, is that that's the very thing God said in the Ten Commandments. He didn't say exactly, children, obey your parents. He said, honor your father and your mother, which then for children obviously means to obey both your mother and your father, to obey your parents. God Himself spoke in such a way that the Israelites could all hear Him. He was causing those wonders up on top of Mount Sinai, lightning and smoke, and then He spoke with a thundering voice, and the people hearing Him were afraid that if He said any more, they would just die. And then God called Moses up onto the mountain and gave him two tablets of stone with those same words carved into stone, the Bible says, with God's own finger. Not that He actually has a finger, but in order that we may understand. And then when the people of Israel broke those commandments and Moses broke the tablets they were written on, God then had Moses to make two new tablets, and God carved them in stone again on those two tablets. The Ten Commandments are different from laws about sacrifices or holy days or what you'd wear or eat or something. These are commandments of a different sort from others. These are commandments for everyone, for all time, spoken by God with His own voice to where we could hear it, carved into stone with His own finger so we could read it. So you know that it's right for children to obey their parents because God said, honor your father and your mother. So this is why you obey your parents. You obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Now, there are other good things about obeying your parents besides just the bare fact that it's right. For example, it will get you what is good for you, and it will keep you out of trouble. And it will be good for other people. It's good for your parents, it's good for your brothers and sisters, and anyone else that encounters you. But those things are just on the side. We'll talk about that some more. But the first thing that's brought up, because it is the central thing, the main thing, is that it is right to do this. And that is the ruling or governing thing. Because, for example, sometime you might obey your parents, and what you wanted to happen doesn't happen. Sometimes you might obey your parents, and then, in a way, things don't go well. All kinds of things might happen that you didn't want to, or even your parents didn't want to happen, even when you obeyed. So that things will go the way you want them to is not sure when you obey your parents. But that it is right is always the case. It doesn't ever change that it's right for children to obey their parents. You are to obey your parents, then, for this is right. You know, it's assumed and not expounded right there that what every person wants to do is what's right. Or at least that what every Christian wants to do is what's right. Now, of course, the sin in your flesh is tempting you not to even want to do what's right. But the assumption is that the believer in Jesus Christ wants to do what's right. I'll talk about that a little more in a while. And that's to be your thought in everything. Right here, the matter is, children, obey your parents, for this is right. But really, whatever you're doing, whatever you're deciding to do, whether you're a child or a grown-up, your consideration is to be, what's right? What is right in this matter? And always you should be doing what is right and doing it because it's right. So children, to obey your parents in the Lord is right. And if to obey your parents is right, then that means not to obey your parents is a great evil, is a severe wickedness. Now, most of the time, we don't think about disobeying parents as being all that bad. Children, most of the time, don't think of it as being all that bad. Maybe don't think of it at all. Parents, many times, don't think of children disobeying as being all that severe a matter. Society around us in general, at least here in these days, certainly doesn't think of children disobeying as being some very severe wickedness or evil. But that it's like that is by the schemes of the devil, not anything that is from God. God would have us see disobeying parents as something very severely wicked. God has told us in the Bible that not obeying your parents is a wicked, evil thing. You can see that in the Bible lots of different ways. I learned three in getting ready for this, so I'm going to show them to you, not that there might not be more ways to see this. But I'm going to show you in three ways how God has told us in the Bible that not obeying your parents is a great evil. First, I'll show it to you in what the Bible says is the opposite of what is right or righteous or just. Lots of places in the Bible where this thing we're talking about, this is right, then the opposite of that is stated. So that you can know if you're not doing what is right, then what you're doing is these other things. I'll quote from several verses here. I would like to go through them at a pace that probably won't allow for you to look up each one just now, but I'll state the reference so that in case you're taking notes, you'll be able to look at them later. Right is the opposite of evil. 1 John 3:11-12. This is the message that you heard from the beginning, that we should love one another, not as Cain, who was of the wicked one and murdered his brother. And why did he murder him? Because his works were evil and his brother's right. I'm going to take the liberty of using the word right. In every case here, it is the same Greek word, but in English it's been translated righteous or just or right. I'm going to take the liberty of using the word right every time to help us all identify when this comes up. Cain's works were evil, Abel's works were right. So if what you're doing is not right, it's evil. Right is also the opposite of unjust. Matthew 5:45. That you may be sons of your Father in heaven, for he makes his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and he sends rain on the just and the unjust, on the right and the unright. In the original, in the Greek, it just has not on the beginning of it. Ah. So that he's saying, God sends rain on those who are the right and those who are the unright. Now, that it could go without saying, but I think it's worth mentioning that if you are not doing what's right, then what you are doing is not some neutral thing. It's not right. There's right and not right. I don't mean as to what you put on your pizza. I mean to as to things like whether you're obeying your parents or not. It's not that obeying your parents is right and disobeying your parents is neutral or okay or just nothing. No, disobeying your parents is right. Not disobeying your parents is unright, not right. Right is also the opposite of sinful. Matthew 9:13. The Lord Jesus said, "Go and learn what this means. I desire mercy and not sacrifice. For I did not come to call the right, but sinners to repentance." Not the right, but sinful to repentance. So not to be right is to be sinful. Right is also the opposite of lawless. Matthew 13:41-43. The Son of Man, meaning Jesus, will send out his angels, and they will gather out of his kingdom all things that offend, and those who practice lawlessness, the Greek anomia, not lawful, lawlessness, and will cast them into the furnace of fire. There will be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Then the right, the righteous, will shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father. So to be right is the opposite of lawless. Not to be right, not to be doing right, is to be lawless, to be against the law, acting as if there is no law. Right is also the opposite of wicked. Matthew 13:49. So it will be at the end of the age, the angels will come forth and separate the wicked from among the right. Right is also the opposite of disobedient. Luke 1:7. This is when Gabriel the angel was talking about John the Baptist, when he had not yet been born, telling what he would do. He will also go before him in the spirit and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the right of the just, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. So if you're not right, if you're not doing what is right, you are doing what is disobedient. Right is also the opposite of evil. 1 Peter 3:12. The eyes of the Lord are on the right, the righteous, and his ears are open to their prayers, but the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. And so not to do right is to do evil. And right is the opposite of ungodly. 1 Peter 4:18. Now if the right is scarcely saved, where will the ungodly and the sinner appear? So that to be right is the opposite of to be ungodly. So if you're not right or doing right, you are ungodly. You are doing what is ungodly. So something that is not right, such as disobeying your parents, something that's not right is unjust, sinful, lawless, wicked, disobedient, evil, ungodly. So when the Bible says, children, obey your parents, for this is right, the other side of that is to say, children, do not disobey your parents, for that would be unjust, sinful, lawless, wicked, disobedient, evil, and ungodly. Do you understand now why I said obedience to your parents is something very disobedient to your parents is something that is a very great evil, a very severe wickedness? So I've shown you that from the Bible in one way, showing you what right is set over against as opposite. I'll now show it to you in a second way. I'll help you to see it in the things that it is listed with. You wouldn't like to see your name in a list with Adolf Hitler, Attila the Hun, Jack the Ripper, and you, right? You wouldn't like to see your name appear in a list of horrible criminals. And that's because you understand that to be in a list of similar things means that you are similar to those other items in the list. Well, that's what is shown in the Bible as to being, as to not obeying your parents, as to disobeying your parents. I'll read to you from Exodus chapter 20. The well-known place in your Bible that is one of the places the Ten Commandments are recorded. Exodus 20, chapter 1. Exodus chapter 20, verse 1. And God spoke all these words, saying, I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself a carved image, any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. You shall not bow down to them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children to the third and fourth generations of those who hate me, but showing mercy to thousands, to those who love me and keep my commandments. You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain, for the Lord will not hold guiltless him who takes his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord your God. In it you shall do no work, you nor your son, nor your daughter, nor your male servant, nor your female servant, nor your cattle, nor your stranger who is within your gates. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea and all that is in them, and rested the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long upon the land which the Lord your God is giving you. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. You shall not covet your neighbor's house. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife, nor his male servant, nor his female servant, nor his ox, nor his donkey, nor anything that is your neighbor's. Do you see the list that is made there that honor your father and your mother appears in? Would you take it as a serious matter that someone profaned the name of the Lord? Would you take it as a serious matter if someone set up an idol and bowed down to it in worship? Would you consider it a serious matter if someone worshipped some false god, Baal or Asherah or something like that? Would you consider it a serious matter if someone murdered someone? You understand, to disobey your parents, to dishonor your parents, is a sin similar in severity to murder and idolatry. This is not some minor concern. just a matter of disobeying your parents, or maybe not doing quite as well as that. No, it's a matter of obeying your parents because that's right, and to do anything else, disobeying your parents or failing to honor them in other ways, is to commit a sin that's right in the list with all of the worst things prohibited in the Ten Commandments. I'll read for a moment from 2 Timothy chapter 3, starting in verse 1. Know this, that in the last days perilous times will come. Men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power. From such people, turn away. That's quite a list, isn't it? Pretty bad. And right in the middle, not as if it's off on its own as something different or distinct, it is distinct from the other, but not different from the others. Right in the middle of the list, disobedient to parents. They're traitors, and they're brutal, and they're disobedient to their parents. If there's somebody who is trying to have a form of godliness, trying to make himself seem a Christian, but he's just a brutal person, well, don't have anything to do with somebody like that. You have somebody who's trying to make himself a Christian, but he's just treacherous. He's just unholy. He's unloving. He's unmerciful. Don't have anything to do with somebody like that. Somebody who's trying to make himself a Christian, but he will not obey his parents. Well, such people, turn away. I'm going to read now from Romans chapter 1, and I'd like to ask you to look at it with me if it's convenient for you to do so. I'll read it aloud. You wouldn't have to look if you can't. But Romans chapter 1, and you know how in Romans chapter 1 there's that horrible description, it's a good description, but of a horrible situation of people who start out refusing to acknowledge that God is there and to worship Him as God, and their case just keeps getting worse and worse until they're involved in sexual immorality and then even things unnatural. And not up at the beginning of that, but like down this moral slide, they end up like this, Romans 1:28. Even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a debased mind to do those things which are not fitting, being filled with all unrighteousness, sexual immorality, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, evil-mindedness. They are whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, violent, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, undiscerning, untrustworthy, unloving, unforgiving, unmerciful. Now, there's an awful list. This is what the sinfulness in the human nature will produce if God just lets you. Just do what you want, this is what you end up like. And right there in the middle of that horrible list of vices, you have disobedient to parents just listed right in there with them. So I'm showing you what a serious evil it is if you are not doing the right of obeying your parents. I've showed it to you in two ways so far, and there's one more. See how serious a matter disobedience to parents is, in the punishment that the Bible says disobedient children deserve. Right here where we stopped reading in Romans chapter 1. Going into the next verse, Romans 1:32. It's talking about such people who, knowing the righteous judgment of God, that those who practice such things are deserving of death. No matter what you will actually get right now for disobeying your parents, because you probably won't get death right away for disobeying your parents, although that sometimes happens. No matter what you get immediately, what you deserve for disobeying your parents is death. And that is the righteous judgment of God. Now think of that. If you don't do what is right, then what is it right for God to do to you? To give you the death penalty. Didn't he say that right up front? You may eat from any tree in the garden, but this particular tree, do not eat from it. The day that you eat from it, you shall die. He established right up front that we as creatures, we as the people created in his image, we are to obey him, doing what's right. Doing what's not right incurs the death penalty. It has to do with his holiness. He is not himself sinful to where he just kind of winks at people who sin because it's just like him. It's not like that. He is holy, holy, holy. For us to disobey him once in any way is, in a sense, an infinite offense deserving of infinite punishment. And so, the right judgment of God is that those who disobey their parents deserve death. So I'll go and read from a couple of places in the Proverbs. Proverbs 30, verse 17. The eye that mocks his father and scorns obedience to his mother, the ravens of the valley will pick it out, and the young eagles will eat it. Now, it's not that that is what always happens, right? But the Lord teaches us that if someone doesn't obey his mother and father, what he actually deserves, this would not be, it would not be wrong, it would not be unjust for him to be left out for the birds to come and eat, for the scavenging birds to come and descend on and pick apart. That would not, that would be just. That would be what he would be right to get for disobeying his parents. Proverbs 23:13-14. Do not withhold correction from a child. If you spank him with a rod, he will not die. You shall spank him with a rod and deliver his soul from hell. There's what will happen to the child who disobeys. It'll be death for him. It'll be hell for him. Now I'll read from Deuteronomy chapter 21. You probably knew this was coming, didn't you? If you know about such things. You know, in the books of the law at the beginning of the Bible, there are laws that apply to everyone all the time. Everyone must obey. Like the Ten Commandments, and like love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. In those law books, there are laws of that kind, moral laws. There are also laws that were for the government of Israel while that was a nation according to God's providence during that time. So what I'm about to read you is not a law for Texas or Oklahoma or the United States or anything like that. And it's not meant to be. But it shows what the person disobedient to his parent actually deserves. Deuteronomy 21, 18 to 21. If a man has a stubborn and rebellious son who will not obey the voice of his father or the voice of his mother, and who, when they have chastened him, will not heed them, then his father and mother shall take hold of him and bring him out to the elders of his city, to the gate of his city. And they shall say to the elders of his city, "This son of ours is stubborn and rebellious. He will not obey our voice. He is a glutton and a drunkard." Then all the men of his city shall stone him to death with stones. You shall put away the evil from among you, and all Israel shall hear and fear. So as to what a child deserves if he will not do what's right and obey his parents, but insist on doing what is evil and not obey his parents, what he actually deserves is for all the men of his city to throw big stones at him until he dies of it. So that his example is put out of that society. That's what he deserves. That's what disobeying your parents actually deserves. So you see that to obey your parents is right, and not to obey them is a great evil, deserving of God's wrath, poured out on the disobedient person in both physical death and the fires of hell after. Now, because you have disobeyed your parents, you cannot be right with God by yourself without help. You cannot do that for yourself. You know, obeying your parents is right, but you have not always obeyed your parents, right? Sometimes you have. But think of this. You had a share in disobeying God, our Heavenly Father, when Adam and Eve disobeyed Him in the Garden of Eden. You know, in a sense, we all were in Adam when he did that. He represented us, and we did it with him. Not personally, but what he did is imputed to us. It's counted for us. God counts it as if we were there doing it too. And he's right to do that, because if it had been you, you would have disobeyed also. God counts us all as having a share in that. And then you yourself, personally, have disobeyed your parents, surely many times. And then even the times that you kind of obeyed them, you might have been angry about it in your heart, which is not right. And you know, even if you set your mind to it right now, you cannot perfectly obey them even if you try. Not every time. Not always perfectly from the heart. There's no way that you can go through the next year always obeying your parents perfectly. If you could, it wouldn't do any good as to this. But still, you can't. You deserve to die for your disobedience to your parents. Just as surely as a criminal who murdered someone, you deserve death, and not just regular death, but also going to hell forever after that. And you cannot get away from this by yourself. You cannot get away from the wrath of God by yourself. Think of this. Can you go back to every time that you disobeyed your parents and have a do-over? You can't, can you? What you did once then is never undone. It is always true that you did that. And so you can't somehow become obedient in the past. You already disobeyed. And think of this. There's nowhere that you can go to get away from God. Right? Possibly, if you've disobeyed your parents and you know they're going to be after you, you could possibly get far enough away that they couldn't get you right away. You know, you also can't get anywhere where you can hide from God. You can possibly temporarily hide from your parents, but not from God even for an instant. You, with everyone else, including your parents, must one day stand before the judgment seat of Christ. You picture that? The Lord Jesus Christ on His throne, you standing there to be judged for what you've done. Because you have disobeyed your parents, you deserve the death penalty from God, and you cannot get right with God by yourself. But the Lord Jesus is right with God. And He came to die the death that you deserve. The one who is right died for the ones who were not right to bring us to God. You know, He did not disobey His Heavenly Father in Adam. You've heard that His mother Mary came to have Him growing inside her without Joseph really being the father. The Bible says in Luke chapter 2, the Holy Spirit, Luke chapter 1, I think, 1, the Holy Spirit would come upon her, and the power of the Most High would overshadow her, and so the Holy One born to her would be called the Son of God. And that happened, and we're told about it, partly so that we will understand that Jesus is not counted as having been in Adam. He did not sin in Adam as we did. And He did not disobey His own parents, Joseph and Mary, not ever, not even in His heart. Wasn't even angry at having to obey, didn't even resent obeying. He did not fail to obey His Heavenly Father's will, even to the death on the cross. And on that cross, He died the horrible death that you deserve for disobeying your parents. The one and only one who never disobeyed His parents died the death that you deserve who disobeyed your parents. Jesus, the one who is right and always has been right, always remains right, He died for those who were not right. 1 Peter 3:18. Christ also suffered once for sins, the just for the unjust. That is, the right for the not right. That He might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but made alive by the Spirit. Now, having the rightness of Jesus Christ, having His right, having His righteousness count for you, and having His death count for you so that you don't have to be punished, that comes to you through faith, through belief, through trust. Saying those three words, which are all three words for the same thing, just to help everybody understand. Through belief, through faith, through trust. A sinner trusts himself to Jesus Christ. Now, I was thinking of children. I was thinking of myself as a child and you children, my own children, and those of you that I know. I was thinking, you children know very well how to trust someone to do something for you that you can't do for yourself. That's part of the experience of the child, isn't it? Think of this. You ride around in a car, don't you? I suppose every one of you children rides around in a car. And
And by car, I don't mean, you know, a car opposed to a truck. Maybe you ride around a truck. But, you know, you ride around in a car, a truck, or a van or something. And you can't drive it yourself. At a certain age, you can, of course. But I mean, for a lot of your childhood, you can't drive the car. You also couldn't pay for the car when it needed to be bought. You can't pay for the insurance that has to be paid every month. You can't afford to pay for the gasoline. And yet, you ride around in that car. You know, you eat, I suppose. Some of you probably eat a lot. And you can't afford to pay for that food to buy it from the store. You can't do all the work necessary to raise it for yourself. I notice that you're wearing clothes, and you can't pay for your clothes. You're enjoying the electricity that's making it to where we can see and feel cool in here, but you can't afford to pay for it or the electricity at your house. You know, it costs thousands of dollars per month for you and your family to have these things that you have that I've been talking about. You know, it costs about $100 a day or more for you to have these things that you use all the time, your car and your clothes and your food and your electricity and all of that. It costs like $100 a day or more, and you can't pay that for yourself. But your parents pay it for you to some extent, your grandparents or whoever else cooperates in paying the household expenses. Your parents pay that for you. And even if you've never thought about it this way, you trust them to do that. You get up in the morning and you just figure there's going to be food, and there is. You know, you go get in the car and you figure there's going to be gasoline, and most of the time there is. You know, you go to get dressed and your parents have provided you your clothes, and you just trust them to do that. You believe that they will do that for you. You have faith that they will take care of those things that you can't do for yourself. I noticed that you cannot go and find the bad guys, the criminals, when they have hurt someone, stolen things from someone. You can't go find them and arrest them and take them to jail. But somebody does, right? There are police officers and others who do that. They do it for you. And so you just wake up in the morning and you figure, it probably hardly ever occurs to you that somebody might be, you know, just going around robbing all the houses in your neighborhood and nobody's doing anything about it, because it's not like that. Because the police officers go and arrest those people and put them in jail. Even if you've never thought about it, you trust the police officers to do that for you. You can't do it for yourself. You know very well, if you just stop and think about it as I'm asking you to, you know very well what it is to trust someone else to do for you what you cannot do for yourself. And so I can tell you, trust Jesus Christ to do for you what you cannot do for yourself. You cannot wash yourself clean from the sin of disobeying your parents. But the Lord Jesus can. Trust Him to cleanse you from that sin. You cannot make God see you as right when you are not yourself right. But Jesus Christ can do that. He can have it to be that when God looks, He sees you in Him so that He sees you as right. You cannot make yourself go to heaven instead of hell. But the Lord Jesus Christ can do that very thing. The Lord Jesus Christ can do these and all the other aspects, all the other parts of what is needed that we talk about as salvation. The Lord Jesus Christ can do that for you. though you cannot at all do it for yourself. So children, when you understand yourself as being disobedient to your parents and deserving of death and hell for it, then trust the Lord Jesus Christ to forgive you that sin, to make you suitable for heaven, to bring you to God. Now, all children are to obey your parents. But you children who believe in Jesus Christ, you are happy to obey your parents. I don't mean you don't have sin in your flesh that will be unhappy about obeying your parents sometimes. But I mean inside, where the Holy Spirit has done this wondrous work on you. You're happy to obey them. Now, if you children, those of you who you don't trust yourself to Jesus Christ, you know, hearing the commandment, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right, and then hearing explained what it is if you don't, that can be a frightening thing if you're not trusting Christ to forgive you for your disobedience. You might then try to obey better, scared the whole time that God will send you to hell for not obeying well enough. If you won't believe in Jesus, if you won't cry out to God for mercy, then you're right to be afraid of that. But when you do believe in Jesus, who is the right, the righteous, the one who is right, when you're trusting Him to save you, when you're trusting Him to make you right in God's sight, even though you've disobeyed, you can hear this commandment with joy inside. The Holy Spirit works inside of you to make you happy about God's commandments, glad to obey the Lord Jesus Christ who has saved you. The Bible talks about that as God in the New Covenant writing His law on your heart. And John in 1 John, I think, talks about it as His commandments not being burdensome. In the Psalms, David writes about delighting in the law of the Lord. That's what that is. You hear, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and your mother, and you're not afraid. You fear the Lord in a healthy way, but you're not terrified, because you know that the Lord Jesus Christ has obeyed for you. You're in no danger. Instead, you are safe in the loving arms of Jesus. And so then you can hear that commandment with joy and delight in the rightness of it. You can hear, this is right. And inside of you can say, it sure is. Yes, that's right for children to obey their parents. And then you can obey with delight. Not that it's not still hard to master your flesh that doesn't want to obey, but from the inside of you, you can obey cheerfully, joyfully, with a deep joy that's always there, thankful to the Lord that He has given you such a good commandment and is helping you to obey it. You know God is happy with you, not because of what you've done, but because of what Jesus Christ has done, and you're in Him. He's happy with you, and He loves you. And you're trusting in His beloved Son, Jesus Christ, and He loves that. Luke chapter 18, I'll read verses 9 to 17 in conclusion. Jesus spoke this parable to some who trusted in themselves that they were right and despised others. Two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee, the other a tax collector. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank you that I am not like other men, extortioners, unjust, unright, adulterers, or even as this tax collector, I fast twice a week, I give tithes of all that I possess. You see, he had sinned, he had disobeyed his parents, but he wasn't trusting in Christ. He thought himself right, when really, he was unright and deserving of death. Listen to this other guy. The tax collector, standing afar off, would not so much as raise his eyes to heaven, but beat his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified, which means considered by God to be right, rather than the other. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled. He who humbles himself will be exalted. Then they also brought children to him that he might touch them. But when the disciples saw it, they rebuked them, as if children shouldn't come to Jesus. But Jesus called them to him and said, let the little children come to me. Do not forbid them, for of such is the kingdom of God. Assuredly, I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God as a little child will by no means enter it. Not meaning that if you don't enter the kingdom when you're a child, but meaning that you have to enter the kingdom as a child. A child knows what it is to trust someone else to do for you what you can't do for yourself, because that's their life. As an adult, you lose track of that because you, generally speaking, do for yourself. You have to enter the kingdom as a child who will grasp and believe that the Lord Jesus will do for you what you cannot do for yourself. Amen. Let's take this to the Lord in prayer.